What's up, prayer watchers? It's Delta, your most humble host for Midnight Prayer Watch Live. And I just wanted to introduce this very, very special episode because this is our Midnight Prayer Watch special edition referred to as Soul Searching. And just to give you a little bit of insight into this special edition, and why is it so special? As most of you know, I have been on a very personal journey to locate my birth mother, whom I have not had any communication with since I was very, very young. And of course, this journey requires me to completely and fully trust in the Lord, the Most High, and in addition to that, endure some trials, some tribulations, and of course, receive tons of revelations. And so I wanted to invite you all, Midnight Prayer Watchers, to this exclusive access to our special edition, Midnight Prayer Watch Soul Searching. What's up, prayer watchers? It's Delta, your most humble host, and I just wanted to give a quick shout out to today's sponsor, Smart Travel Jewels. Why not take that long-awaited summer vacation with a group instead of just by yourself? Smart Travel Jewels offers group tours and excursions that are all-inclusive and give you an authentic experience while exploring a new country and making lifelong friends. Visit smarttraveljewels.com to learn more about upcoming trips and start planning your next adventure today. Visit Smart, S-M-A-R-T, Travel, T-R-A-V-E-L, Jewels, J-E-W-E-L-Z.com. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon. What's up, everyone? This is Delta coming at you again for another special Midnight Prayer Watch Soul Searching Edition. I am your most humble host for Midnight Prayer Watch Live. I'm here in Seoul, South Korea because I'm soul searching. I recognize that, that's a little bit of a pun on the title, but that's literally what dropped in my spirit when the Lord put me on this path. Was like, it's not just about healing and forgiveness, but it truly is about reconciliation. And the only way that I'll know whether or not that healing is for real, or whether or not there's true, a bandage there, that the wound is no longer oozing or can be ripped off and it's still not quite healed. If anybody remembers those times where you skinned your knees when you were kids and you were so anxious to take the band-aid off, but it was still bleeding or it still hadn't quite healed yet, or maybe you started picking at the scab. Is this helping anybody with this analogy? You started picking at the scab and then the wound opened up again. But in any case, I liken it to that, is that the Lord has put me on this journey to locate my birth mother because there is a level of release that's attached to this. Because I don't know, I've lived so many years in that anger, resentment, bitterness category when it comes to her leaving me, that I'm not sure about what I will feel. And so being in South Korea has been an experience. Obviously, anybody that travels internationally, you always know that you don't really know what to expect until you get there. And then you feel so foreign, especially when you're in a homogenous society such as South Korea or even any other real Asian country. It's like, I'm here, but I know I'm on a mission. I'm on assignment. So I say all that to say that this preface has been leading me into real, like, just study and quiet time with Abba. And I feel like although this journey is definitely a personal one, that he's been with me like every step of the way. I've been just fortunate to be able to chronicle my journey on a vlog on our YouTube channel. And I'm getting ready to release another episode about just the travels and how, like, along the way, I'm literally putting an asterisk, like, here's another place where I've gotten favor, or here's something that the Lord has shown me as a sign that he is with me. And I just feel so encouraged when that takes place. And I really, truly don't feel like I'm walking out this journey alone. And so as we talk about on Midnight Prayer Watch, I just want to encourage anyone that might be listening in tonight, or if it's morning or afternoon time, wherever you are, just to deal with those wounds, to face them and not run away from them. We talked about this on our last talk, and we had an opportunity to pray with some people that came on, and I just want to open up that prayer line again. Midnight Prayer Watch is a two-way street. For those of you that have not subscribed to us on our social platforms or had a chance to tune into any of our live episodes, we are a platform for virtual prayer intercession, where the call of the Lord is just to stand in agreement with anyone that wants to approach the throne room together, because he's just revealed to me in this season that people are feeling as if they can't come to him, or they're feeling like there's that sense of prayerlessness, like, what do I pray for? You know, life is so twisted upside down right now. Where do I even begin? And I just want to submit to you that you are not alone in that. Not at all. And there's so many people like you, if you're tuning in right now, just like, it could be just the simplest thing that the enemy may try to use to make a mountain out of a molehill. He's really good at that. You know, the word says that he's crafty. And the devil wants to sow seeds of lies in your life. He wants to sow doubt. He wants you to not open your mouth or not open your heart to pray and to have that true, genuine relationship with Abba Father. And so our call in Midnight Prayer Watch is just to create a platform where you feel like comfortable to just be honest about what's been on your heart. This is a safe space for you to just start opening up your mouth and allowing Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, to do the work inside of you, to reveal those areas that you may just need to recognize, to acknowledge that they exist. A lot of the resentment that I felt and the bitterness that I had been holding on to was shrouded in this disguise that I had created, that there wasn't any hurt there, that I was good, that, you know, living without my birth mother was like a badge of strength, of what our community calls like strong woman, strong Black woman, you know, enduring the worst of the worst to rise above it and come out on top and, you know, live a life that's acceptable in society, and all these things that the world tries to sell us on that are moments of achievement, when really we are just broken inside. And I know that there's a lot of broken people that are walking around. And I just want to encourage you to know that there's nothing wrong with that. There's no shame in having hurt or having traumatic experiences. It doesn't make you any less of a person. It doesn't take away from your achievements or goals that you're looking to achieve in life. But what it does do, it does deny yourself of those things that the Lord wants to use in your testimony for His glory. And that, above all else, is like no other joy, no other fulfillment. It's like unspeakable. I can't even describe it, because He says, like, it's incomprehensible, His love for us. He tells us in His word that His love transcends all understanding. And I think we take that for granted, because it truly is like a cliche thing, that love has been so overly saturated in our society that people really hear that, oh, God loves you, and, you know, His love never fails, and all of these epithets that are out there. But there's so much that we truly just don't understand about His love for us. And I just want to submit to you that He does love you, regardless of how much you have done that you're not proud of, how many thoughts you may have had that you're ashamed to admit to, or what has taken place in your life that you just don't even want to drudge up, that you don't even want to acknowledge has taken place. So if you may be one of those people today, you know, we just want to encourage you to seek the Lord in this moment, to start to invite Him in to help you and partner with you through this hurt, through this shame, through this pain, the things that He said that He did not send His Son to die for us to be able to live in this life of shame or hurt or pain. He doesn't want that for us. He doesn't want our lives to be filled with depression or anxiety or fear of anything. He said in His word, I've been in Psalm 56 for the last week, I think consistently, is like, there's no man, there's nothing here on earth for us to fear. The only thing to fear is God Himself. That's it. Point blank, period, as the kids like to say. So when there are anxious thoughts or there are struggles that are taking place in our life, that's not the lot that He's put to the side for us. And we have to recognize and acknowledge that we are the ones that have to meet Him where He's already take, like, He's already, like, I think the best way to characterize this is that He's already done the hard work. It's just about us turning away from that life and turning towards Him and walking through the path that He's already laid for us to have a life of joy and peace, and to know that, you know, that life ultimately is not what we describe or what we define as joy and peace and perfection. Like, all of us want the shiny Rolls Royce and millions of dollars in our bank account and the biggest house and just, you know, all kinds of abundance of material things and no cares in the world today. But one of the things that I would absolutely say to you is that, do you understand that our definition of joy, peace, and goodness is not the same definition as what the Lord says to us? And so I'm opening up the prayer line for anyone that wants to just share what's on their heart or want someone to pray with them. Looks like we have somebody that is waiting in the queue, so I'm going to bring them up and then we'll come back online and talk about what this particular kind of revelation is that I have been identifying during my soul searching journey. So let's see if we can bring up Steve Hayes, who's waiting in queue. And see, Steve, can you hear me now, Steve?
Hi, Delta. Thanks for having me on. I sure can.
Absolutely. How are you today?
I'm doing good, thank you. I liked what you're saying, and I just want to jump on there real quick and say thank you for being vulnerable. Thank you for getting real and encouraging us. I mean, if more people would do that, we'd have a much better world out there. You know, I was thinking about what you're saying too about, you know, we think if we had a Rolls Royce or we had new this or bigger this or better that, you know, but if money made you happy, then everyone who was rich would be happy. Absolutely. And yet we tend to find the opposite, right? If health made you happy, then everyone who was healthy would be happy.
Absolutely.
Right? And we know that. And if fame made you happy, then everyone in Hollywood would be happy. But we know the stats for a lot of people that they're not happy. And yet we continue to oftentimes pursue something. If we were to step back for a second and pause for a second, go, wait a minute, what do I really want? And I like how you talked about joy and peace, because happiness is really a combination of those two. It's a contentment. It's to be content no matter what my circumstances are, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I just think it's good to sit back and go, wait a minute. If I can just, like you said, yield to God's path. He's already done the hard work. We strive so hard. It's so funny because, you know, I don't know much about science, but, you know, I remember studying about how the world is going like 14 different directions at once, and they're all going 1,000 miles an hour and spinning and everything. And we're going to add to that by going 70 miles an hour down the highway. I mean, mm-hmm. like we're going to help God out, right? I think we need to take more time and pause, you know, pause and slow down. And I mean, anxiety feeds itself off of that mentality. Anger feeds off of that mentality. You know, doubt Absolutely. Feeds off of that mentality. And that's why, you know, God says, be still in Psalms and know, be still and know that I am God. And man, when you know that he's God, then you also know that you're not. And you know that you don't have to be. Mm-hmm. And you know that he's real. And this whole soul searching thing that you're going on, you know, I mean, we don't understand why you haven't found, you know, was you looking for your mom? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah. My birth mother.
Mm-hmm. You know, but it's the whole searching part. We think it's the destination, but it's the journey that counts. You know, it's the living in the moment that we're at right now. And so, yeah, that's all I just wanted to say. I just wanted to tell you, you're doing a good job, Delta. And I love it. I love what you're saying, and way to lead us, man.
Thank you so much, Steve. I really appreciate the words of encouragement. Is there anything that you have on your heart that you would want us to pray with you on?
Oh man. I would just like wisdom. I would like, it's easy for me to say all that stuff. It's harder to live it. Mm-hmm. So I feel like God has been telling me lately to rest in him, to stop striving. And that's why I resonated so much with what you're saying, because I feel like God has been trying to tell me, relax, stop striving. let me do what I'm going to do. And yet we keep, God, I got to figure this out right now. And God's like, I already got to figure it out. Why do you got to figure it out? I mean, I feel like God wants us to find his will for us more than we want to find it. Yet we keep trying to, you know, get in the way. So I guess that'd be the prayer for me. I mean, I need a financial miracle. But I'm always in that state. I don't come to need miracles. I rely on them, you know, but I think that's what it's called, living in faith. And I'm out there trying to do what God wants me to do. And I just want to do it right, Delta. And you know what, even as I'm talking to you, I'm talking to myself, I am doing it right. All I have to do, Delta, see, I don't know if you're praying under your breath or someone else is praying while I'm saying this stuff, but I can feel the answers burning into my spirit. as I'm talking, I'm not even finishing the sentence and God has already given me the answer.
Look at that.
Isn't that great how he does that? I just love him. He is so amazing.
He is. Absolutely, Steve. That is amazing that you're even saying that now, because I'm writing down your prayer request so I can continue to pray for you even after you go on your busy way. I'm sure you're a very busy man. I appreciate you coming on and just being an encourager.
You know what? You know what? Are you okay if I, since this is a prayer thing, can I just say a quick little 20-second prayer for everybody?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, please do so.
Right on. Jesus, thank you for Delta. God, thank you for bringing her to this thing and for allowing me to her to be on when I'm actually on. I ask that you would continue to give her the strength and the facilities to keep doing what she's doing. And I pray for everyone else who's going to listen to this, whether they're listening to it live now or they're going to listen to it in the future. I just ask that you would give them the joy that Delta was talking about, the peace that Delta was talking about. Help us to be, just overwhelm us with the fruit of your spirit. Overwhelm us with your goodness and help us to just rest in the fact that you are God. So I speak a stillness, a peace, a joy, a happiness over everyone listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, I just stand in agreement with Steve right now, Lord. You know his heart. Oh, Father, we thank you that he is your son and he is striving to do what you've called him to do, Father, even in him being divinely appointed to join wisdom at the same time that we are just continuing to do what you've laid on our hearts here at Midnight Prayer Watch, Father. I just pray that you grant him the wisdom, as you said in James 1, that if any man lacks wisdom, all he has to do is ask of you, and you will give it to him generously and abundantly. Mm-hmm. And so right now, Father, I declare that your wisdom is being sent down into his spirit, into the things that he is purposing to happen in his life, in his family, in his career, in his job, even in the ministry that you're birthing out of him this season, Father. Whether or not he knows it, he continues to minister by speaking your name, by encouraging others, and by them seeing the light that you have placed in him. And I just pray for that Jehovah Shalom peace, Father, to just rest on his mind on anything that might be worrying him, Father God. Anything that might be creating any fear or any anxiousness inside of him, Father. We pray that you give him a peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord. And we thank you for us being all knitted in your spirit. We know we are your body, Father, and we need each other in order to operate as an effective body with your head, Jesus, leading us. We ask all these things in your name, Jesus, we pray.
Yeah, we do.
Amen.
Right on. Thank you, Delta. I received that awesome prayer.
Thank you, Steve. We continue to just are just so glad in heart of being able to connect with people just like you and appreciate you just continuing to open up your heart, even in outside of wisdom, to those that are around you. We know that the Lord is doing work inside of you as well.
Right on. Thank you, Delta. Thank you. You have a good
you
night.
Too.
You keep up the good work.
Thank you. Take
All
care
right,
of yourself.
Thanks. Bye. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right, y'all. So as you heard from our brother Steve, that this is just only a move of God, even when he was talking to us from his perspective and praying over us as a community, you could already feel the Spirit of the Lord moving. Do you understand how great and mighty a God we serve? He is sovereign over all. He is boundaryless. There is no state line. There is no country border. There's no limit to his goodness. There's no limit to his reach. And as you can see, again, as we continue to walk in the obedience that he's calling us to, he is just showing all of us how real he is and how he wants us to turn back to him. And as we continue the series As I've been talking about, you know, from a soul searching perspective, there really is something that takes place when you become obedient, when you surrender your agenda, when you surrender your life to Him, that it doesn't just release you from the bondages that you've been feeling. It doesn't just release the blessings that have already been stored up to pour out like wine from the mountains and hilltops, as the word says. It doesn't just release that to you, but isn't it amazing that it also releases others? We have to think about when Paul and Silas were in the jail. I talk about this. I love this passage of scripture where Paul and Silas got locked up. They were locked up, y'all. They wouldn't let them out, as Akon would say. But they were locked up, and what did they do? They weren't in there moaning and groaning and crying and screaming and complaining and saying, God, what happened? They didn't do that. But they started praising Him because they knew the God that they served. They knew that there was purpose in the reason why they were there. And what took place, it wasn't just their freedom that took place when the earthquake came, but that all of the prisoners, all of their bars and gates and shackles came off. So we have to catch that, y'all, that once you start walking in obedience, it ain't just about you. He got a plan. Oh, He's got an intricate plan that goes beyond our understanding and comprehension, although we all are trying to figure it out. I'm sure I've been in that moment, guilty as charged, where I'm like, okay, well, if this comes together here and then that happens there and this person does this and that, and you just try to orchestrate and do all these things and make all these moves, and then you look up and guess what? You ain't moved nothing. No chess piece on the board move. You still haven't taken up any pieces. Nothing. Or you might be in danger of having checkmate, like that chess analogy. All right. But think about it like this, like all that motion, all that effort and energy. And the Lord is just watching this like, are y'all just going to keep struggling when I done the work? And the hard thing is that we are prideful people. We are stiff-necked people. And we want us to be glorified. We want us to be the ones that get the followers and to get the badges and to get the degrees and everything the world tries to sell us is that we have to have all of these things. And it has to be done a very prescriptive way. And the Lord doesn't work in that way because we don't understand it. We always struggle to do it our way. And so letting that go and allowing Him to be the Lord of your life is literally what it is. It's just surrender. But it's so hard for us to do. And He knows that. He knows that about all of us. That's why when you start walking in that, then that's when the releases start taking place. That's when the journey, it's not that it doesn't become easier. Let's just say that the journey starts to unlock for you because the things that you never thought would happen, the things that were outside of your comprehension or imagination, those godlike things start coming into play. And you are like, wait, what is happening? And then people around you start being affected. You're like, wait a second, what is going on here? And then that light starts spreading and people you don't even know start getting infected by the light that is in you, which is just the glory of Jesus that's living. And it's breathing. Oh, and it's good. And so just as Steve was saying, like, we have to get out of our own way. And it's not an easy path to take. And what we have to recognize is that though we want it for all of you, though we want to hear Midnight Prayer Watch, and myself personally want it for all of you, the word does say that not many will find that path. Not many will find that path, y'all. And so we know that it's not for everybody, but we want it to be for you. So if there's something on your heart, if there is a tugging that you're feeling even now about an area that Holy Spirit may be revealing to you, if right now you're thinking about a situation, or you might be thinking right now, somebody might be thinking right now about something they said to someone they shouldn't have said, oh my, then that's that thing he wants you to come to him with. Right now, you don't have to wait until this talk is over. And while we encourage you to join us so we can partner with you and stand in agreement with you as we did with Steve earlier, you don't have to come on. The most important thing is that you do go to the Father. And that can happen anytime. You can stop what you're doing right now. Sometimes I stop mid-eating, like mid, I'm in the middle of a meal and I feel like something is happening, though I might be hungry. I'd be like, okay, I got to stop right now because this situation has come into my mind or this person is coming to my heart right now for a reason. If we believe that the Spirit of the Lord is living and is alive and well, then those moments cannot pass us by because they happen for a reason. That person came on your heart for a reason. That situation started to convict you for a reason. And there's something that needs to be done there. There's something that he's calling you to right now, whether that's asking for repentance, whether that's reaching out to that person and maybe being an encourager or maybe praying with someone that he placed on your heart. I mean, there's so many ways that he calls us as his children to edify one another. And so just want to encourage you, if you are that person, and if you choose not to come online with us, if you choose to have your private moment with the Lord, no issues with that at all. But we encourage you to at least get into that place where you allow him to start getting into your heart. Yeah, he's going to get all up in your business, but if you know our guy, he already know your business anyway. He already know it anyway. He just waiting for you to acknowledge it to him so he can come in and do the hard work. And then the heart work, H-E-A-R-T, can start taking place. So as you are taking time for that revelation, I do want to go back to what we've been discussing today in our Soul Searching Edition, which goes to our point of this talk, which is who is lying to you? And so as I've given a very long preface of how did we get to who is lying to you as our talk today, I have been on this journey to locate my birth mother. And this journey has taken me to South Korea. I am here now. It is still morning time over here. So if you're evening time, wherever you're at, afternoon, thank you for tuning in. Like I said, time zones, countries, boundaries, all of those are null and void when it comes to the Spirit of the Lord. So been having just moments with the Lord where I just have not felt like, even though this is a personal journey, that I've been alone. Just having these like really intimate conversations because how many of us know that, you know, he is not far from us, he's ever present. And so whenever, you know, I'm feeling like something is taking place, I just start talking to him. We just have that relationship now, which I'm just so grateful for. And so I've been doing quite a lot of like quiet time studies and things like that. And I wanted to share with you all in this talk one passage of scripture that I was reading this week, which hit me differently. It's, I don't know if anybody else has felt like this, but sometimes when I'm reading the word and really trying to get into it this time and not just like trying to check the box because the Bible app said that I have a streak that I'm trying to make. I don't know if that's resonating with anybody today, but I'm truly trying to be really intentional about absorbing and not just doing it because I'm trying to get that achievement in the Bible app, but that I'm allowing Holy Spirit to reveal to me what it is that he has for me in the word. It is a living word, and it truly has done things in unlocking and so many revelations for me as I've been moving in that venture and really just allowing Holy Spirit to reveal to me what it is that I can apply to my life or just lessons overall. And it's interesting because sometimes when I read it, a situation happens, I'm like, oh, this is just what I had. And then, you know, I've gained wisdom on, okay, well, this has happened like this before. And so this is how I should expect either the Lord to move or I should be moving in this way because I don't want that judgment or I don't want that to happen to me because of what I read and things like that. So anyway, that's kind of where I'm at right now. So in 1 Kings chapter 13, I've been just studying. Kings is about it. I don't know if anybody has read Kings or Chronicles, but after Solomon, oh my goodness, there is a lot that's going on between the kingdom of Judah and the house of Israel. It's just like it's a lot to keep up with here. But in any event, if anybody has been in Kings, you already know it gets really, really serious after Solomon. Because it's like the Lord is like, nope. All these kings, everybody, so many people dying. It's so much murder. Oh my gosh. It's a lot. But I digress. In any case, I'm in 1 Kings chapter 13. And I was reading about Rehoboam, which was Solomon's son. And this is kind of where the word of the Lord and what he said was going to take place because Solomon did not do what he commanded him to do. He started worshiping Ashtoreth, Chemosh, Moloch, all of these other gods. And we already know the Lord ain't got no grace for anybody being worshipped but him. And so everything that I've seen and studied thus far, anytime you start worshiping anything but him, it's a problem. I mean, it's not good. So we pick up in 1 Kings 13 in the kingdom of Rehoboam, who is Solomon's son. And now because Solomon did all of that towards the end of his life, he was doing good, y'all, in the beginning. You know, Solomon was young when he took over the kingdom of David. But he was doing good in the beginning. Then he, you know, he had all these wives and the Lord told him, like, don't do this with these wives from other tribes. He didn't want them to intermarry because he knew they would turn his heart away from the Lord. And of course, that's what happened. This man had like 300 wives and thousands of concubines. So what can you do? They always talk about how women are very persuasive. Me being a woman, I can identify with that. So anyway, in that respects, now Rehoboam, who is the son of Solomon, has taken over the house of David and all of Israel, is having to, I guess, what's the best way to say it? He's having to deal with the sins of his father because the Lord told Solomon, like, you not doing what I told you to do. You're not walking according to what I've commanded you and worshiping these other gods. But for the sake of your father, David, who his heart was truly a heart for me all the days of his life. I will not take the kingdom away from you in your day, but I will take it away from your son. Woof. I was like, dang. And I thought about that. I was like, how many of us are dealing with the sins of our father? And you don't even know it. And that's why it's so important. I mean, we talked about generational curses a little bit in our previous season on Midnight Prayer Watch Live. But this is exactly the example of that. Even Saul's descendants had to deal with that. And now we're seeing the same thing happen with Solomon's descendants, with Rehoboam. So now Rehoboam, his son, is having to deal with all of the smoke that Solomon had when he was alive, because the Lord spared him for the sake of his father, David. So now Rehoboam is in a place where he has the opportunity to keep Israel together, but it was already prophesied to Solomon's servant, Jeroboam, that you about to take the rest of the kingdom, because this is what's going to happen. I'm ripping away the kingdom from the Solomon, the line of Solomon, which is now Rehoboam. So Jeroboam, two people, I don't know if this is how I remember, because their names are very similar, but they are literally against each other. Jeroboam, the servant of Solomon, is prophesied to say, you are going to be the one that's going to take the 10 tribes of Israel away from Rehoboam. Rehoboam was not, he was worse than Solomon. Like, he obviously inherited the sins of his father. And so he's got many wives. He's worshiping all these idols. He's created all these like altars and stuff that are doing sacrifices and incense, all these things not pleasing to the Lord. So now Jeroboam comes and he's like, yeah, I'm gonna give you an opportunity, Rehoboam. Like, you know, we out here and I can easily take away the rest of your kingdom. But if you would just acknowledge what happened during the time of your father, then we'll serve you. And of course, as the Lord said, Rehoboam did not concede to Jeroboam. And so then this kind of starts this cavalcade of just a complete division in the house of David. So we no longer have full children of Israel together. We've got 10 tribes, which are referred to as the house of Israel. And then we've got the rest of the tribes, the tribe of Judah, which is what the Lord has said. He will keep that house together for the sake of David. So, and that's on Rehoboam's side. So now you've got Israel split apart, and you've got a lot of like division and war and all this kind of stuff happening during this time. And now Jeroboam was told, when he was prophesied to, it was like, okay, this is what's going to happen to Rehoboam. And he's not going to, you know, obviously he's not going to concede to you. But the prophet that told him what the Lord said also said, if you would worship the Lord and keep his commandments, then he will bless you abundantly and give you and prosper you and bless you, blah, 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 right? So then Jeroboam has the opportunity to continue the work that had been started with David and with Solomon in the beginning. And what does Jeroboam do? He don't do that, y'all. He don't do it. And he's not even a direct descendant of David. So he's like, you had the opportunity to do so, but you still chose to worship other idols. And Jeroboam did some crazy stuff, y'all. And it was like war between Jeroboam and Rehoboam, like all the days of their kingdoms, which was like over, I think, 40 years or something. Somebody correct me if that's wrong. It might be 30 years. But starting in 1 Kings 13, I was given the preface so you could understand. Jeroboam is on the throne now. And there's a lot of things that he's been doing, again, not following the ways of the Lord, worshiping other idols and things like that. So a man of God from Judah comes to where Jeroboam is at, and he comes with a message to Jeroboam. And he says pretty much that you are not doing right by what the Lord said. You got people out here worshiping idols, because Jeroboam was like, I guess he was power hungry is the best way I can put it.
Prayer watchers, we have come to the most important part of this episode. If you are listening and are not 100% sure if you will spend eternity with God and feel Holy Spirit tugging your heart to make sure of that answer today, then we encourage you to pray this prayer with us. We want you to be 100% sure of your salvation. So the prayer goes like this. God, I come to you asking for forgiveness. I confess that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe that you sent your Son, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, paying the penalty for my sins. And he was raised from the grave and is alive right now and is coming again. I confess you, Jesus, as my Lord and personal Savior. Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. Oh, if you just prayed that prayer, we are rejoicing with the angels in heaven and are so excited that your name is now written into the Lamb's Book of Life. What's up, prayer watchers? It's Delta again. Thank you for listening to part one of this episode. Don't forget to tune in to part two next week, as we encourage you to follow us and click the bell to notify you when the next Midnight Prayer Watch episode is available to listen to. You can also find us on all podcast platforms. And as always, I want you to make sure that you stay up, stay alert, and stay washed in the Word. We'll see you next week.